Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our co-host, Mortgage Guy Mike, he's a world traveler these days. He's doing a little summer vacation. Follow him at Mortgage Guy _ Mike. Today, we are joined by Matt Cornier, a.k.a. Corn, a.k.a. Matt Corn, formerly known as Matt Black. he's got all sorts of names. Matt is the creative director at Feeling Swell. Follow them. They were actually a recent Mullet Cast guest as well.
That was great, by the way.
Thank you. Matt is the co-owner of Siren Clothing. Siren is S-Y-R-E-N. Follow them on Instagram at Siren Original. And sirenclothing.com. And you're also the merch manager for Sunshine Spaz. Follow them at Sunshine Spaz with two Z's on Instagram. And you said they got a new EP coming out.
Yeah. They're having it mixed as we speak.
Nice.
They had some work done by Paul at Drugs Records in Belmar.
Nice.
Great, dude. It was really a pleasure being involved in that project.
That's cool. I just want to throw out Siren Clothing. The motto is live to die happy.
Yes.
I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that was that snuck up on us. We were really thinking about a lot of different things that we can use to kind of create a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it just rolled off the tongue one day in a meeting, and it stuck. It really resonates with everyone that buys the shirts and
right.
and with us, especially with the way we live, you know.
Right.
As artists, we're you know, you never know when you're going to eat next. So
right. That happens. That's true. So you got started as an artist at a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
You said mm-hmm. some of your memories were like always drawing in school.
Oh, yeah.
And getting yelled at for it.
I remember so many times getting sent down to the principal's office and getting constant beratement from my teachers, just always being like, either I was drawn on a desk, carving something at a desk. It was always in my mind.
Right.
It was always in my mind.
So what's like your earliest memory of drawing or how you were drawn to it?
It goes along with why I became such a fanboy of like, you know, comic book culture. I was I've got into Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. and I would just draw ninjas all the time because I loved, you know, the variations that they had between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, and, you know, then they started adding more, and I was just like, do all these different ninjas, and it just got progressively more inspired from that,
right.
You know? I think it was a lot of comic books and tattoos later, but, you know, video games, everything, you know, a little bit of everything.
That's cool. I mean, and do you remember like, oh, wow, I'm really good at this? Or was it just something you kind of did? And
for a long time, I thought it was more of a hindrance, seeing as I would get in trouble for drawing in class. And it felt like I was getting more told not to
right.
and then to enjoy it. And and to really like seek where I could take it. You know, I think that was something that I never thought would be something I could do for a living like right. I do now, you know?
Right. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And you were running like a side biz also, right? Because you weren't just drawing, you were like selling drawings.
Yes. I was big into like action figures and stuff, so I would try my hardest to see if people wanted me to draw them something or color on their notebook or whatever, you know. Even in sixth grade, I remember getting like, you know, putting like little notes on people, like, if you want me to draw you something, I'll do it for $1 or something. No way. You know, I try to get something going just so I can buy more toys and video games and stuff. And
that's cool.
And then in high school, it progressed to, you know, everyone, you know, tattooing just started getting really normalized, and you started seeing more lawyers, cops, doctors wearing tattoos. And
right.
And then people wanted to have like, you know, a personalized drawing or an idea concept figured out. And then that $1 became 20, and you know, and then before I knew it, I was drawing to pay for my own tattoos in the beginning.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So, I mean, you had like, so that was like the early foundation of like art and business merging, right?
Absolutely.
Because you were like an entrepreneur also.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. So you played a lot of sports in high school also. We have to mention, because Mike, who's usually here, like he's going to be dreading, like, he's psyched he's on vacation, but yeah. You're like the second wrestler that's in today.
Oh,
and he's
really?
Like, he was a wrestler at St. John's and still coaches up there. So
that's a good school for wrestling.
Yeah, he'd be totally geeking out. So tell us a little bit about wrestling in his absence. So
I mean, as much as wrestling, I had a good record and everything. I enjoyed it, and it more than anything, it unlocked that idea of pushing, you know, like that. The drive and like going past where you're comfortable, destroying that comfort zone, not just moving past it. And Coach Reed, who's one of the most famous coaches on the East Coast for high school wrestling, mm-hmm. was there. I mean, Frankie Edgar came into a couple practices. It was really big deal, and I didn't understand it at the time because, I mean, like I said, I was an artist at heart, trying to find other facets. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the other sports. I was just trying to find things, you know. Right. And with football, which was definitely my number one sport, and lacrosse, which I had the most fun playing, mm-hmm. but wrestling taught me the most, I would say, as far as potential and effort, and what you put in is what you get out.
Right.
And Reed, you know, he's a source of so many, you know, he's one of those guys you can interchange any one of those Chuck Norris jokes with you know.
Right.
He's just such a folk tale, you know.
Really?
It was really inspiring. I wasn't a varsity, but being able to be in there and give the varsity a good, mm-hmm. you know, practice and stuff, I wish I was better. I wish I took it more seriously back then.
Right.
But high school at the end, so I mean, I broke my hand in football.
Did you?
And it disabled me in the other two sports that year because football is the first season.
Right.
So I ended up only doing two years in wrestling, but mm-hmm. My friend Ryan was like, he still goes to annuals, and I mean, I started following Flow Wrestling last year, and right. now I'm starting to get hooked again. I'm trying to see if I can get into elite wrestling and see if I can try to just at least train a little bit more now.
That's cool.
I'm getting back into it for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And you were an Eagle Scout also
yes.
around that time.
I still am.
Yeah, that's true. Always are, right?
Yeah, that's something that...
That's cool. I mean, I crapped out probably around, I don't even remember what they were. I don't think I made it to Life is the one with the heart, right?
Yes,
is
yes.
that right before Eagle
That's
Scout?
Right before. There's like two levels of Life. And I think there's like the initial one and then there's another one. But
I think I didn't make it to Life quite, or I don't remember.
I think it's Star and then Life.
Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we had a tough time in Scouts. I think we were the most active troop I'd ever seen.
Right.
So once a month we were out in the woods, you know, and that a lot of people don't make it.
Right.
But making that, I think, along with, you know, a lot of other, you know, good people in my life is what really got me to learn how to finish, you know. Right. A lot of artists start projects endlessly, and then before you know it, you have a big pile of unfinished work, and you start stressing, you start losing sleep, you start worrying about, like, you know, am I able to finish?
Right.
You know, and that definitely at 18, I made it right on at the end. You're not allowed to make it after 18.
Right.
So I made it right at the end, and it was just, it was like the weight off my shoulders was monumental. You know, as hard as it was for a lot of people to continue,
right,
it was even harder to finish.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough.
So is that the classic? I mean, did you just sum up the classic tortured artist of, like, am I good enough? Can I finish it? Is that what it is?
that insecurity.
Yeah. Right.
And I think even all across the spectrum of art, it's really hard to get past your doubts, you know?
And so it is. It's like a fear of, like, am I good enough, basically, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean,
so is that why, like, artists purposely don't finish? Is because then you
yeah, then you have you're subjected to judgment after that. So it's scary. You know, I think that's more than anything.
Right.
That's what I think we fear, is the finished product. Is it, and it'll never feel done. So
right.
So might as well just not finish it at all.
Yeah.
You know? I've gotten into a better habit of finishing things, though. That was a goal of mine back in 2015 when I started Siren. It was like, okay, I'm going to see this through.
Right.
And even if, you know, it doesn't make $1 million, you know, I'll learn and I'll finish learning what I can,
right.
You know. That I made that proclamation, and that changed my life, really, you know. Along with, you know, discovering meditation and other ways to curb your anxieties and you know, finding ways to work around the human mind,
right.
The complexities that go with it.
Totally. So what was the trick to finishing the Eagle Scout project?
We had an amazing troupe.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we were very active, but at a price. We had, like, very military-esque leadership, and they were very hard on us.
Right.
Even last night, I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and
Swimming flashbacks.
That's exactly what happened. I was getting flashbacks of thinking, like, you know, there's kids in the beginning that first started that would, like, get in panic situations, like being away from home for the first time. And instead of, you know, pats on the back and it's okay, you're, you know, like the leaders would just yell at you, like, why are you crying? I just spent months planning this trip, and they would get
suck
really
it up,
hard
cupcake.
On exactly. Pick up your bootstraps, you know, and like
it might be a little more laid back these days, like, you know,
for sure, and
it's kind of frowned upon these days, right?
But on the other side, like it forced the other kids to pick you up.
Right.
You know, like the leaders weren't going to do it. So we'd be like, come over here. Come talk to us. Come do this with us.
Right.
And those things really were learned through scouting and
that's cool.
And teamwork and contributing to someone else's, you know, well-being.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's impressive because I know, like, how hard it was and not finishing, you know. So it's cool.
Do you still regret it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think I was at that age was the classic, like, don't finish anything guy also, you
exactly.
know? So it's like you got to kind of figure out how not to be that person, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
So I didn't learn that lesson until later. But I think it's cool. Around that time, you said you were also in a Hurley Walk the Walk challenge.
Yes.
And what was that all about, and how'd you get into it?
So I like I said, I thought that art wasn't an option. So when I got involved in, like, you know, finally, like, I didn't take an art class until sophomore year.
Right.
Not even through middle school or elementary school. It was, like, you know, once a week. When I started taking art classes, they had noticed that I was getting better very, very quickly.
Right.
You know, and I was doing all the extra time. I'd skip multiple classes to be in the art room. And,
gotcha.
And that obviously got me in trouble in some aspects, but the art teachers would always have my back. They always, you know, were like, I know he missed that class, but
right.
look at this. You know? And because I didn't go freshman year, I wasn't applicable for advanced art placement.
Right.
So they were trying to find other ways to get me involved with the advanced art kids. So that was one of them. I had taken interest in clothing my whole life. You know, I'd really loved graphic design and, mm-hmm. and stuff, but I was hell-bent on painting it myself, you right. know, not using a computer. But I've come a long way since then. But they wanted to get me involved and started off with just trying to make clothing. Like I did a lot of like amateur silk screening and mm-hmm. and painting of like denim and stuff like that. And it was really my first toe dip in.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
In clothing and stuff like that. I wasn't much of a surfer. I liked the beach, but I was kind of was like getting over it, over the beach scene. So I was looking for something to be a part of that world a little bit to because it looked fun. Mm-hmm. And they started making these videos, and one thing led to another, and you know we ended up getting the most votes in on the East Coast, and they shipped us all the way out to Huntington Beach for the Surf Open, and they did a like this whole runway show and everything, and it was amazing. But we were kind of coming off the coattails of the reality Jersey Shore thing.
Okay,
we didn't really have the best reputation in California at the time, so right. We didn't really stand a chance. But I think we gave it 100%, and you know to. Being clothing now, 10 years later almost, and it feels like it was meant to be.
You so you know? Feel like that kind of set you off on that path?
Yes, yeah, definitely. That's definitely. Cool. And even the Swell guys, the Feeling Swell staff didn't even know that until one day in the office, I was like, you know, they were looking through my Facebook. I was like, oh, look at this picture, you know? And they were like, in California, I went to Huntington once, and they were like, you were doing that? And like, they had heard about the competition. And,
right.
It just seems like forever ago now, yeah. You know?
That's pretty funny.
But it was amazing.
That's pretty cool to look back and, like, think of what it was like to be there at that time and then still, you know, now be in clothing. That's really cool.
It seems like fate, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. So were there any, like, brands or designers or anything like that you were really into, like, from that time that were inspirations for you?
At the time, Obey had just been really getting big, and my friend Ryan and I, the lead singer Sunshine Spaz, we make a point to go and see all of his Shepherd Fairey's murals.
Right.
He had always been a major, as far as like you know, graphic design goes. Like he's always been, like doing that graphic look with a paintbrush is always been impressive to me.
Right.
So I really clung on to that. Sketchy Tank, the way he, you know, Siren is basically tattoo inspired clothing, so Sketchy Tank being a tattooer was really a pivotal inspiration for me,
and right.
You know, a bunch of my friends that work in tattoo shops, like, you know, their tastes kind of curated mine, and it's been a lot of true art root clothing mm-hmm. that's inspired me always, you gotcha. Know.
That's cool. All right. So as you're like getting out of high school, you got into the art program down at OCC. Mm-hmm. Was it that time you were also like working and trying to break into tattoo shops, or was that after OCC?
It was during, like, OCC seemed like a plan B, and I was really just hanging around tattoo shops trying to get an apprenticeship.
Right.
That was my goal. I think even my senior photo in my yearbook is like holding a tattoo machine. That,
was it really?
You know, and I was just dead set on trying to be a tattooer.
Right.
And I don't know if you know much about the tattoo culture, but there was a lot of shade thrown if you're a tryhard in that community. So I was really a tryhard, to get in there.
Right.
And It was definitely like, okay, this Eagle Scout wants to be a tattooer, really.
So did you have a tattoo in high school?
I think my last week I got my first one.
Did you?
Yeah, I've only been getting tattooed since I was 18.
And so what was your first one?
It was this one up here that I drew.
Right.
It's just a, you could tell it's like a hodgepodge of like a bunch of different ideas.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to jam as much in one tattoo as I could with right. a drawing so that I could, you know, if in case I'd never got another one,
right.
I would just have a lot.
Got it all in.
Yeah, exactly. That's so, cool. But I mean, I had done a few illegal tattoos, like, you know, in my garage and, you know, the tattooers really don't like that. The
right.
tradition is like, you know, the ball peen hammer to the hand. If you,
oh, really?
If they catch you tattooing out, that's old school, but
right.
it was pretty rough. So
my hand hurts at the thought, man.
Oh God. Oh God. So what basically happened was like, I had a few very close friends in the shop. I would hang out with them outside of the shop. And
what shop was it?
It was Burning Monk at the time. Right. And now it's Iron Flag, but I think it's only one of the original tattooers there, Jay. But when now most of them are at All Saints in Tom's River.
Okay.
But talking to them, they just basically said, you know, I had gotten this story that I don't know if I'm telling it exactly right. It was a while ago, but he was like, you know, when I first started tattooing, I was made to carry a gun, and I don't think you're willing to do what I was willing to do when I started this.
Right.
So, and I was really offended by that. I didn't show it. I was very it depressed me that yeah. I was never going to get to do what I wanted to do,
right.
and it really, at the end of the day, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've now being involved in so much, giving back and doing things that I'm, at the end of the day, I'm glad it happened. But at the time, it was a little traumatizing.
Yeah.
I was like, no, really?
Right. So what kind of stuff were you doing at the shop at that time?
Sweeping, you know, trying to pour ink caps if they were in the middle of a tattoo and just observing their drawing and asking questions,
mm-hmm.
Doing as much as I could,
right.
you know, as much as they would let me.
Right.
You know, bringing in my drawings and letting them critique them and, you know, seeing what I could do, improve on or mm-hmm. some techniques. Like in drawing, there's a lot of workarounds, like a lot of shortcuts and stuff. And
right.
They're the best at it. You know, tattooers are the best at freehand drawing that is impractical use, you know?
Right.
So it was really fun to learn. And I think it's a huge part of what I do today
mm-hmm.
is that the foundation I built in learning that stuff,
right.
you know, and tracing, getting line work done, like the quality of lines that they produce. It's just so important because it's permanent, you
right,
know,
and totally
and having to, like, you know, commit to a trade that all those things I was learning through them
mm-hmm.
and really inspired by
right.
by them.
Did you have like any success, like you remember from the time, like was there like one of your drawings was used in a tattoo, or did you have like a breakthrough like that?
A lot of them, but even to this day when people ask me to draw a tattoo, it's and I'll urge any of the listeners to not ask anyone to draw you a tattoo. Let the tattooer do it, because you want them you want their artwork on you. You don't want my artwork done by someone else. It's like three times removed. It's a big thing that, you know, a lot of people would bring my drawings into the tattoo shop that I would hang around in, and they're
right.
like, oh, here's another one of Matt's drawings.
Uh-huh.
And like, it gets under their skin a little bit, no
right.
pun intended, but
right.
yeah, it was always awesome to see someone, like, even though they were mad at me, like, I'd be like, right on.
Right.
you know, you know, people love my drawings enough to get it done on them. That's all I can ask
right.
for. You know?
And did you ever, like, did you start giving tattoos?
A few.
Yeah.
A few. And there were some jacked up tattoos.
Right.
You know? but it didn't stop me from wanting to learn,
right.
you know, but... once they found out, that's when the conversation was had that, like, you know, Matt, just, you gotta have to find something else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I keep thinking of, like, I think there's a lot of parallels. Like, we had a dude from Swagger and Blade in here. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you know that barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs a very tight, like program for people that want to get into it. And they're very dedicated to the trade. Like these dudes, yeah. like the way they treat their blades and their razors, like yes. they're in like crazy, like over samurais, 100%, right? Totally. Like, I mean, they're yeah. like, they're hanging around talking about it. Like when they're wrapping up the day, they're cleaning their stuff. It's intense, man. And I yes. get that sense from the tattoo guys too.
Absolutely. And even those guys, they don't really like when their barbers are cutting outside of the shop too. Right. And you know, it's like, you know, you're a team, yep. you know, and I didn't really understand the team concept right. as much as I should have with uh-huh. my experience, but it's a huge. There's a lot of correlations. I mean, we tattooers most of the time end up hanging around barbers. You know, mm-hmm. it's that all that trade. You know, right. that there's something to be said about like being a part of something yeah. that's bigger than you.
Right. Yeah, it's very cool. So what happened to you personally when that dude had the conversation with you of like, I don't think you're, you know, in it?
It was tough for me to handle. I felt like any progress I had made with my art was gone or taken away or forced to start over, mm. you know? I put it down for a while. Yeah. And that was obviously I'm back to a good place, but if I had had those few years back, mm-hmm. I would have probably be even further. You know, it's so easy to say hindsight's 20/20, but I went on to work in restaurants and was found my love of business mm-hmm. in that, which is a big plus. I'd seen a lot of shady people conduct business and right. and good people conduct business. I learned what to do and not to do. I ended up at a towing company mm-hmm. in Toms River, and I hung around with a lot of bad people right. trying to get a reputation, like a given that I had been told that I was too nice to tattoo. I wanted to kind of prove to myself and to everyone else that I was a hard individual right. and it took me a long ride to, you know, figure out that wasn't me, you right. know, and I should have listened firsthand, but being told is harder than finding out on your, I mean, finding out on your own is hard, but
right.
along the way I picked up, you know, the knowledge of motorcycles and, mm-hmm. you know, working on cars and stuff. And I had, had a bout with, you know, drugs and experimenting and just trying to get in trouble.
Right.
And after that, I mean, I'd come to this point where I was extremely depressed, anxious. I hadn't painted. I remember looking at my calendar or in the last painting I did, it was had to be about 8 months
right.
since I had painted or drawn right. even. And I was like, this is getting way far out of the way. And right. I had this feeling of anxiety, panic. Mm-hmm. And I met vehicle wrap people mm-hmm. and they were like, you know, there's a lot of money to be made on the computer. I know you can draw. I've seen your drawings and paintings and stuff. And they were like, why don't you try to go back to school for it? And a piece of advice that, I mean, that everyone should know mm-hmm. and in the art world and that I was told day one in art school at OCC
right.
was don't go for that piece of paper. Go to learn. You know, college is really, you know, for artists, is really meant to find your style. It's mm. not meant for that piece of paper.
Right.
There's nothing that can be gained from, and I mean, there's some, but
sure.
there's very, very little that you can't learn on your own. So, I mean, to have homework in the art field is important, you right. know, and to force you to draw and paint and stuff. So what I did was at that point, after being at OCC and away from tattooing, in the tow truck, it was practically like solitary confinement. All I had was time to think.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? If I just go and learn how to use a couple programs, maybe I can, you know, not try. I had no interest in finishing my degree. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see what I can learn on the computer. And before I knew it, I was taking, you know, I took two classes and I was off to the races. Right. I started taking my friends' drawings and I was converting them into vector files and putting them on shirts, making screen prints, screens, and I was like, you know what, and the guys at the towing yard, you know, very hard individuals, mm-hmm. they were like, you know what, you're not into this anymore. You're not again, I was like, I was not cool enough to, right. you know, so I got fired from there.
Did you?
And yeah, and I was in this big depression. I was like, okay, I'm not tough.
Right.
I've accepted that now. I'm a nice guy. Right. I really want to do good stuff with my art. I want to change my...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Outlook. And so I discovered Buddhism. Right. I really started studying that and working on my art like as if it was martial arts. And every day was drawing, painting, and working on the computer and taking those drawings and paintings, converting them to files.
Right.
And before I knew it, I was starting Siren. And I had, once I started Siren, I got a screen printing job, being a graphic designer with a screen printer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like coaching again.
Right.
My boss at the time was a real hard ass. It was really, every mistake was under a microscope, and I got to really hone in on my graphic design skills because
right.
he was just up my throat. Like, he was just on my ass every day.
Right.
And he was a great businessman.
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting to be like drilled in an art format. It was really a great way to learn.
Right.
And then before I knew it, I was just doing things really fast. I got so much better. And I found out that he was also a convicted felon.
Right.
And I left. And that's when Swell found me.
Gotcha.
You know?
That's crazy.
It was an interesting ride.
So was like the source of your, like, I guess, depression because you felt like tattooing was the only outlet for your art? Like, you were so like focused into this is like the skill I have and this is where it's going to come out. Now suddenly it's gone and you had to learn that there's other ways to use the skill.
It was less the tattooing and more the long period without doing what I felt like I was meant to do,
right.
in any form. And I think it's important for an artist to know that, you know, there's a lot of things that we want to do
mm-hmm.
as artists, and there's like these visions of making a comic book or designing action figures or whatever, but there's a lot of practical applications that can get you there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the first thing that looked cool, looked like it got girls and looked like, you know, local fame because
right.
a lot of those guys are locally famous.
Sure.
And I got intoxicated by that idea
right.
and not the job, you know?
Right.
And I think that's what I was reminded of.
Yeah.
And thankfully,
it so really. Probably, right. You found out it's not what you thought it was, probably.
Yes.
Part of it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's cool. So then it was. Was it hard to accept like learning programs? Did you feel like you weren't an artist and you were like a programmer? Or
yes. Yeah. Immediately I felt like sacrilegious. I felt like I was really betraying everything I believed in. But
right.
at the same time, you know, I gained a lot more potential in my work, you know.
Right.
There's only so much you could do with a paintbrush, and a computer's mm-hmm. potential is endless.
Right.
Know?
And did you find a way to make that, like, is it a creative outlet for you?
The computer?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's practical.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, you know, at the end of the day, most art needs to run through a computer anyway
mm-hmm.
to be produced, it felt like I could make this my own,
right.
you know, and I still draw and paint. I still have a YouTube channel.
Mm.
And that being a time lapses of the paintings I do. And
oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
That's
yes.
cool.
So and a lot of that is still tattoo inspired. So I still feel like now that's for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't need to do that for a living. That's from, you know, a stress relief.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's really good.
YouTube channel is Matt, MATTE. Popcorn. Mm-hmm. So check that out. So how did you get the nickname Matt with the M-A-T-T?
That was my biker buddies. They're, you know, I had done a lot of like engraving and like other avenues of artwork. I was still coming out subconsciously, right. You know, like I was learning how to build motorcycles and work on motorcycles. And I would take a friend's tank or a subwoofer and engrave it or anything. But my style was always to spray it matte, mm-hmm. matte black,
right.
and then engrave it so the silver would come out. So it became silver lines on a matte black background.
Wow. Right.
So I had done so much of that that they just started calling me black or matte black, right. And it kind of stuck. And I was probably the darkest skinned out of all of them, so they were probably more comfortable calling me that. But it was
that's pretty funny.
It was good though.
I mean, the matte, like in cars, it's gone even like well beyond just black now. You see a lot of different matte colors that are pretty sweet. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's cool. It is a good look.
And that rat rod look is becoming more prominent too. I mean, that's so fun. It's so fun for me.
Yeah.
I love cars and motorcycles and everything.
Right. So how is the balance, or I guess what's your role at, let's talk about Feeling Swell first, mm-hmm. because you're balancing like another clothing line and mm-hmm. working as creative director at Feeling Swell. So how does that work out? And what's your role at Feeling Swell?
First, I want to thank those guys. They are the best thing that's happened in my career. Mm-hmm. They have given me the ability to do something amazing and give back to the community with the foundation and everything.
Right.
But for them, I really am dead set because they have such beautiful imagery on what they're trying to do.
Right.
I try to be their vehicle for the art to come out. Mm-hmm. You know, what Eric and I will do to create a design is he'll give me a bunch of inspiration. He's like, this is what I'm thinking, but switch this up. And I'll just try to let him, like, really listen to him and actively listen mm-hmm. and let him guide me to make it work and put my own spin on it.
Right.
I try to let it be theirs, you know. And obviously I throw some ideas in and my experience. I mean, they're much younger than me, so mm-hmm. not much, but
right.
5 years younger than me. So I try to trust them as much as I can. Mm-hmm. That's really the key in my position there is
right.
letting my experience do the walking and let them do the talking. And they're great with it. They're for a 23-year-old dude, Eric has really got a head on his shoulders.
Right.
I'm really proud of those guys. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to listen to them. They
right.
make it easy to, I mean, given the screen printing job where I was getting whipped, to have my, you know, holding hands for once is nice.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
It's
a little more
great.
Of a partnership.
Yes, exactly.
And you're screen printing some of your own stuff at Feeling Swell also, right? Or does it get shipped out, kind of made somewhere?
Siren, I work with Legacy, mm-hmm. who's very popular in the tattoo community.
Right.
I knew he'd have the proper experience, but with Feeling Swell is all direct garment.
Right.
So we get a lot more color palettes, mm-hmm. a lot more range and intricacy in the designs,
right.
which is important for like wave concepts and,
right.
and stuff like that. So
yeah.
it's way more practical for Swell.
Right. And is that how the process works? Is it like color by color? Is it like one pass and then you're kind of layering?
For screen printing, definitely.
Yeah.
It's per color is per screen. So mm-hmm. you can probably max out at 7.
Okay.
I mean, there's obnoxiously like 12 color screen
right.
printing units, but I mean that's more of a high end, very rare thing to find
right.
for as far as screen printing goes. With the creation of direct garment, a lot of those guys are struggling right
mm-hmm.
now. So to move on from screen printing to more of a direct garment based company,
right?
I feel like, you know, I'm really lucky and glad, grateful to be, you know, moving towards the future.
Gotcha.
You know?
That's cool. I mean, the Feeling Swell, I just got my first couple Feeling Swell shirts in the mail recently.
Yes.
And I was wearing one day and got a compliment on it right away. Like, that's
excellent.
A cool design. Yeah, it was
excellent.
Sweet. So it's definitely nice stuff. So how much of, like, the Feeling Swell line, how long have you been there?
Only about, yesterday marked my 6 months.
Okay.
It's been a short time, but it feels like two. Uh-huh. With the way we work every day, like I'm not used to enjoying coming into work.
Right.
I really love it. I love it. They let me design my own office, and it's been. I feel like in no time we're growing this together.
Right.
You know, along with my designs, I've been, you know, contributing what I can business wise. And I think these guys are really good at curating ideas.
Right.
I think they pick the best ideas, and I really trust them. Mm-hmm. And the way it's grown just in the past 6 months, I'm so impressed.
That's cool. Right, so you got your first like sort of couple of lines are coming out with from your time there. Mm-hmm. Like I think I saw something on their Instagram today that like a new batch is out.
It's
right
today.
That's cool.
It's today, man. I urge everyone to go to feeling.swell, see what you like, and use the link to get to the website. Mm-hmm. We're really pushing to get ready for fall and Black Friday, and you know the sales are doing well, and everything gives back. So
right.
it feels good. That's it really, cool. Really, I have so much faith in these guys, mm-hmm. You know?
Right. So they kind of lined up pretty like consistently with what stuff you've gone through in your life also, right? So it's kind of like a good pairing.
Brian and I have had multiple nights where we're just like, oh my God, and this, and what this feels like, you know, it's crazy to be where, I mean, him and I particularly have had some major heart to hearts about our anxieties and depressions, and he's I went through that at the same age that he is now. Wow. So it was a couple years, 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So he's now, you know, he's learning from me as much as I'm learning from him. I've just heard from him that he's starting to meditate more, and I'm Brian is doing such a great job with his taking control of his mental health, and
right.
And that I think too is what makes me feel comfortable. You mm-hmm. know, everyone here is not afraid to be out there, and
right.
You know, and just, you know,
basically be human. Right?
exactly. The troubles, you know.
Right.
I mean, him and I too connect on that level where it's like we're middle class. So you don't see a whole lot of extreme. Art coming out of the middle class. Mm. It's usually lower class and getting into the upper class. And to be so like privileged in a lot of ways for both of us.
Right.
I mean, I sought out those that were less privileged, and him who is just now realizing that he needs to get in contact with the less privileged and help. Mm. You know, I'm impressed.
Right.
I'm impressed with their efforts.
That's cool. So you talked about meditation. How did you get into meditation, and how do you like? What's your like meditation practice like?
I first started out reading "Buddha Walks Into a Bar,"
mm-hmm.
A great book for young adults that are trying to find the practical application for meditation and Buddhism
right.
in the everyday life while still going to get a drink and still, you know, trying to get laid and,
right.
you know, but you right. need to also check in with yourself. And that was a big part of it. I mean, the whole time I started meditating before I'd started drawing and painting again mm-hmm. after my long break. And I was like the whole time I was sitting on the cushion and trying to meditate, and all that kept coming up. I was like, I haven't done what my heart is telling me to do in mm-hmm. so long. And that book really, it poetically tells you, you know, to remain calm. And my anger issues started falling to the wayside, and like all this, like, this angst just mm-hmm. comes off your back. Like,
right.
And that book, I would majorly contribute that, and starting to branch into podcasting and listening and being an active listener.
Right.
You know, that is a huge part of why we're anxious. We're too busy talking and not enough listening and absorbing and learning.
Right.
You know?
That's actually a good point. Like, now that you mention it, like, I'm thinking of some of the most anxious people I know, and they talk constantly.
Incessantly.
Right.
You know? Totally. It's crazy.
It is. Right.
I'm not a correlation.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Causation by correlation thing, but there's definitely something there. Right. I think once I started really listening and opening my mind, I was able to relax a little bit more and let people, you know, teach me. Because you realize how much energy you put out when you're talking.
Right.
You know?
That's true. What kind of podcasts do you listen to?
Big Rogan fan, like most people in my age group. But that led me to a few other ones like Duncan Trussell, Duncan Trussell Family Hour. He's big on the Buddhism principles and The Art of Manliness, Radio Lab, anything that, you know, people much smarter than me are on, people where that, you know, inspire you with their knowledge. I'm big on that. Those have been, I mean, those alone, you could be busy for years.
Right. Totally.
And you guys, I've really did a deep dive once you guys invited Feeling Swell.
Nice.
I really wanted, like, I was pushing them. I was like, you better do it. Yeah. Let's do this, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. They threw out, they're like, dude, Matt's like huge into podcasts. Can we bring him in? And we actually told him, like, let's do his own episode because it just starts getting, you know. I mean, look, you got a lot to talk about. So it's awesome. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think, like, I'm slowly starting to figure out meditation and stuff. It's the same thing. Like, there's this book that's been kicking around. Like, I've probably moved it three times and never cracked it open.
It's tough.
And finally, I'm like, you know what? I got to just sit with this. It's called Miracle Morning. And part of it's, like, laying out your morning and, like, even if it's, like, 5 minutes of meditation or something. But, like, I definitely – so I'm, like, I'm only a week in of, like, sitting down 5 minutes. And it is, like – like you said, it's like almost listening to yourself, right?
Yes.
And then I think what comes from that is not only like, you know, finding your passion, right? But, you know, maybe a lot of ideas because you're finally taking a moment instead of like brain chatter and talking, like to listening, you know, it's intense.
It feels like it never stops. Right. That brain chatter is like you said, it's to listen and not just to other people, but to yourself.
Right.
And are you going through like transcendental or more of a Buddhist or a Zen? Or
I'm actually just like training wheels. Like, all right, how do I just figure out like how to do it? Right. And even just like think for 5 minutes. So like laying the foundation and then step into figuring out the other stuff, right? Perfect. Or how to grow it, basically.
You're at the best part right now. Right. Because this is when, I mean, it's commonly talked about the lull in a meditation practice where that I just finally got over the hump.
Right.
Where it's you meditate and you're seeing all these big differences and all these like noticeable changes, and people have been telling me like you're not the same person that you were in high school, and it's like I mean, I've been working on it, and you get that, and then it stops because then people get to know you now, and then you have to kind of be like, you know, okay, am I done?
Right.
Like, do I just keep doing what I'm doing now? No, I mean, it's you take it where you want to, but it's a beautiful thing just starting out, and I'm. You know, good luck, and that's just the best part is starting,
right?
And really, just find a book that you like. That's the best recommendation I can give anyone,
right?
but really, I had this conversation with my girlfriend last night, and she was like, "If you had any service, like, you know, if you had any one person to help you with anything, like laundry or physical trainer," I was like, oh, I need a secretary to keep my books right. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'd want a meditation teacher to progress in that. There's so many levels. And And I missed the first level. I missed just getting into it. And
right.
Because there's these times now where it's like, okay, I've told myself this 100 times to find my breath and everything. And it just, it does get harder, and then it gets easier, and then it gets harder.
Right.
It's very wave-like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's like, maybe it's like life in general, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it's like you said, like, you know, are you just content now and that's it? Or are you going to continue to grow and who knows what else you'll do, you know? Oh,
it's a beautiful concept. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, what are your like kind of big goals and where do you see yourself going?
I've just perfected my 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I try to let my meditation last however long. Mm-hmm. Once I start losing focus, I can get up, stretch, and do a few things. But in the beginning of the first 15 minutes, getting to sit for 15 minutes for me mm-hmm. was nightmarish. It was hard because my brain would get mad at myself. It's like, you should be just go do something. Go go get something done. Or
what are you wasting your time
yeah,
for?
Yeah, exactly. You're just sitting there. Right. Yeah, you're just sitting there. Right. And now I've perfected my 30 minutes. I've had a few actual psychedelic experiences.
Really?
No drugs, just sitting and had some crazy stuff happen just recently. And that has made me think, I think the next step for me, a goal for me would be to try to go to a retreat,
mm-hmm.
At least hear someone in person, not just via podcast or book,
right.
Like meet someone that is very experienced, you know, and has a lot to teach.
Right. You know? That's cool. Very cool. Yeah. I think it's funny. It's like, even for me, the 5 minutes, it's like, I was talking to someone about it, and you're like, oh, well, you're so busy, where do you carve this out? And someone told me, they're like, they heard this quote that's like, if you don't have 5 minutes to meditate, then you need to meditate for 2 hours, right?
Exactly.
Like if you're like that busy well that you don't need it, or you so can't well do put it for 5 minutes. But the 5 minutes like goes fast. Mm-hmm. Like to me, that sounded like a big commitment,
mm-hmm.
but it does go pretty quickly. And then, so like hearing you say 15 and 30, I'm like, holy shit. Like, how do you ever get to, like, it's hard to imagine, but you have to start with 5,
it,
right?
It took me a few years.
Right.
You know, 15 minutes was impossible in the beginning.
Yeah.
What I would recommend is just that a lot of the mantras and everything I enjoy, if there's like background noise, mm-hmm. like if, you know, someone's got a TV on and it's like, you know, I or someone's playing music, I'll use the mantra. But when you can get just a quiet room, mm-hmm. you'll find that 15 minutes will right. just fly, you know, and when there's things going on, it's hard.
Sure.
But something I would urge you to do, or anyone beginning, would be to find a place outside of your home.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was there was a beach right near my house.
Right.
So I would just go and sit on the beach when there was no one around. Sometimes at 9 o'clock at night,
right.
no one was around. And just listening to, holding on to the breath and just listening to that
mm-hmm.
was huge for me.
Right. Yeah. It's really cool. Where do you think you're going professionally? What's on the horizon?
Feeling Swell is growing so well that all I see is just us doing bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. Siren is about to undergo a big change in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk too much about it because it's still in. We're rewriting our business plan.
Cool.
And creating a new business model.
Right.
Essentially, so I can't get much into that. But between Feeling Swell, doing so swell,
mm-hmm.
and Sunshine Spaz is really becoming very involved in the Asbury community and growing as a band.
Right.
I really want to look. I look forward to possibly going on tour in 2020 with them.
Nice.
And managing their merch,
mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, Feeling Swell. We're looking to start going to and researching the Surf Expo community.
Nice.
I know they briefly mentioned it on here, but that's becoming more and more a goal of ours.
Right.
Is to hold our own Surf Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that takes a lot of work and there's a lot of things that go into that, and but really just perfecting what we're doing right now.
Right.
Both on Feeling Swell and Siren's projects, I think both of us just need to really hone in on what our look is,
right.
Getting more outreach and things like this. Thank you so much for having both me and Feeling Swell here,
because
these are the type of things that we want to really start getting involved in. Just start telling people about what we're doing and what, you know, we're looking to do.
Right. On the music side with Sunshine Spaz, are you involved, like, overall, like, is it everything from, like, logo to artwork to the merch as well?
Yes. Yeah. Anything graphically, I pretty much am on retainer with them. That's cool. I try to do as much as I can. Right. You know,
I love their name.
I love it. It's so good. That was actually an accident. I was there for the name making too. And I was like, I don't know. We were just spitting things out and I just said something and someone thought I said Sunshine Spaz. Right. And they were like, dude, that's it. They all looked at each other.
Right.
They're really awesome. They're on Spotify as well, too, by the way. So
I got to check out. I think they played, like, I want to say last Wednesday, they were doing one of the Free Asbury shows, and I couldn't make it. I was going to try to check it out. So I haven't seen them yet, but they're definitely on my, like, to-do list of a band to catch.
They're really quickly becoming one of the best up and coming, you know.
That's cool.
I'm really proud of them.
Nice. What else do you do for fun in your spare time? It doesn't sound like you have a lot.
Other than the YouTube channel, I do try to ride my motorcycle as much as I can.
That's cool. What do you ride?
I have a 2011 Fatboy.
Right.
It's pretty sweet bike.
It's matte black.
All black. All black. Exactly.
Sweet.
My girlfriend and I like to do that. I do like to work out. Through the depression period, gained about 60 pounds.
Right.
I found a way to lose that, you know, fitness and yoga and stuff like that keeps my mind right. I really like doing that stuff. Play a little video games here and there, but more comic books and cartoons.
Right.
You know, I find my art community where I can.
That's cool. Very nice.
That's the fun stuff for
me. That's good stuff. All right. I mean, it was awesome talking to you. I appreciate you coming in.
True pleasure, man.
Check out Matt, M-A-T-T-E, for the YouTube channel, Matt Korn. He's the creative director at Feeling Swell, feeling.swell on Instagram. Siren Clothing at Siren Original, Sirens, S-Y-R-E-N Original. Look for some news from them in September.
Yes.
All right. Check out the new line there and what's going to happen. And then Sunshine Spaz, you said they have an EP coming out.
Yes. That's being mixed right now. That'll be out in the end of the month.
So have you done the art for that yet?
Yeah, the album artwork is all on the Instagram that you could see all that. We just did a big sticker run, so you'll be seeing those all over Asbury. <Nice.
laughs> That's cool. Yeah. Would any, like, special merch coming out related to that also?
We're going to do this crazy ape shirt, so it should be really cool. I don't want to give too much away, but it's one of my best designs I've made with them far. So I'm going to be chopping away at that this week.
So. All right, cool.
Yeah,
so that'll hit like time of the EP roughly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, right, keep in touch with their Instagram. They're very active, and they're always releasing little sound bites. You can get a taste, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what the dude's photo was, but I guess does the drummer have kids? Maybe.
Oh no! That was okay.
It's one of the funniest pics
I've
ever seen.
That was so good. So for Ryan's Ryan and Michael, the guitar singer and the bass player are brothers.
Okay.
And the drummer is their best friend from childhood. Okay. And they just took a picture of their dad holding the two boys and just put Jamie's face on it. It looks so funny. It was hilarious.
It's one of
that was great. It's the deep fake.
That's a sweet one. I mean, it captures like the awkward family moment.
Oh, you know, great. So great.
That's cool. All right. We'll get more of that along with the music at Sunshine Spaz, and Spaz is with 2 Z's. Check that out on Instagram. Matt, thanks very much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Such a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Once again, I'm Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Follow Mike at MortgageGuy_Mike and look for the Mullet Cast on Facebook.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.